in the heavenlies, not only for our church, but other churches too as well. There has been a lot of things that's going on. God is getting things in line. He's starting to work in families. It may not look that way. It may seem to be all in confusion, but God works perfect when it's in confusion. We've been talking about this. Last Sunday, I spoke to you and told you that it wasn't hot enough up in here. And we need to fuel the fire. It still needs to get hotter. Punch that beside me and say, you need to throw something on the fire. So Wednesday night, we came back and we talked about the at least three spirits that are withholding the power of God from showing up here in the church. It was holding back a revival. I preached now since right before Christmas on the 11th hour visitation of God. The 11th hour would be the time when God comes and reaps a harvest. And the people that are associated in that 11th hour harvest will receive everything that had been handed out in the first hour visitation, the third hour visitation, the sixth hour visitation, and the ninth hour visitation in Matthew chapter number 20. So get ready for a mighty move of God like you've never seen in your life. Amen. I just wanted to read one verse, verse 1 of chapter 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one Julius Centurion of Augustus' band. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, the centurion of Augustus' band. Quickly this morning, I need to share with you a thought, because in this chapter and in the next chapter, Acts 27 and Acts chapter 28, there's so many spiritual things and so many spiritual truths. And most of them are laid hidden and still remain hidden, because it takes a thorough exegetical, hermeneutical, homiletical study, and that's the talks theologically at the moment. So see, I can say them big words too, amen. But it takes a deep study to find these truths, and you've got to have some Holy Ghost wisdom as well to be able to ascertain what God is saying in this chapter, in this situation, in Paul's life to the church. The Holy Ghost placed this chapter, chapter 27, chapter number 28, the Holy Bible, for a very important reason. For so many years, it has been overlooked. I've never really heard anyone speak about it, but this two chapters are prophetic in nature. It explains to you what is going on in the world today. Chapter 27, 28 explains a very detailed story in the life of Paul that covers many, many months and a traveling of 2,130 miles. You might want to write that number down. It's very important. 2130. We're getting kind of close to 2130, aren't we? There's something in this chapter for every year since the time that the church has been inaugurated. And here in this chapter, there are 16 different ports that are mentioned. 16 different cities, 16 different places that are mentioned and referenced. These 16 different ports, as you sit down and you really study this, you can find in history what God has done in those, in the church within those 2,130 miles, 2,130 years. And the very first verse tells us, and starts out, that it was determined that they should sail to Italy. I want you to ask your neighbor here this morning, just ask him real quick and say, are you determined that you're going to set sail? Ask another one this morning, say, are you determined that you're going to set sail? Are you determined that you're going to stay on the boat? Are you determined that you're getting on the boat? Are you determined that you're going to go where God wants you to go? Amen. That word determined there is the Greek word krino or krino, whichever way you want to pronounce that. And it is a word that's very important. It is a pronounced judicial decision. A pronounced judicial decision. This was the ruling of Festus and Felix and Agrippa that put Paul on the ship and sent him to Italy. But I want to share with you, although man made that decision, although man did it, God had already determined that Paul was to go to Italy. Just like in today, we're going to have something where we're going to be pushed into a certain decision that we're going to have to make. And you better understand, when we come to it, we must have a determined mind that we are going to set sail and we are going to stay on the ship and we are going to make it to our destination. In these chapters, it is a tale of the most famous shipwreck in history. It's very unique. It's very deep. It's almost the best one that's ever been told. It's one of the most detailed ones that you'll ever find in Scripture. And here we find that man, an outside force, had made a judicial decision that Paul was going to have to go to Italy. I want you to punch that in beside of you this morning and tell them, say, you've got to go to Italy. I think, Tina, you went to Italy here last year, didn't you? Wasn't it? Went to Italy? Didn't you go to Italy? I've not been to Italy in the physical, but I want to share with you, I have been in Italy for many years spiritually. Festus and Agrippa had to come to the decision that they were going to send Paul as a prisoner over to Italy. And Paul had made up his mind that he was going to Italy. He was going to Rome. He had made up his mind. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 19, verse number 21, that Paul had purposed in his spirit, number one, to go to Jerusalem. And then after he would go to Jerusalem, he would then go to Rome or Italy. And when he purposed within himself, that scripture in Acts chapter number 19 tells us that Paul began to say that and began to speak it. He said, I purposed in my spirit to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been to Jerusalem, I must go see Rome. So Paul had made up his mind, and when you have a made up mind that you're going to do what you need to do, then you are going to start speaking what you're going to do. Amen? Not only was it that Paul had made up his mind that he was going to Italy, it was the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, that planted in Paul's spirit that he had to go to Rome. I want you to punch that in beside of you and say, you got to go to Rome. I'm talking to you spiritually here tonight. I'm telling you to grab your passport and call the cruise ship and tell the airline that you need to go to Italy. I'm telling you, you need to get your heavenly passport from God himself, and you need to get on the heavenly gospel ship, and you need to get a heavenly ticket from God to get on the Spirit Airlines up in heaven and to make it to the spiritual place called Italy in your life. Amen. Paul had made up his mind that he was going to accomplish his goals. And nothing was going to stop him from accomplishing his goals. I wonder this morning, under the sound of my voice, is there anyone here that has made up their mind that they are going to go through with Jesus, hallelujah, and they are going to accomplish the goal that God has for them in their life? If I have someone here this morning that way, I want you to shout out and say amen and give God a good hand clap of praise. And then tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to go with Jesus. I'm going with Jesus. Amen. So God has something for you to do. Smile at that and beside of you and say, God has a mission for you. It's wonderful to be called by God, isn't it, Janice? It's just wonderful to be. It's a powerful thing to have God call you. I said it's wonderful to be called by God, isn't it? So man, it's wonderful to know that God has put your name down on a calendar up in heaven and said, I have an appointment with Thelma Worm on this day and I'm calling her to go out on a mission for me. It's wonderful to have God speak to you and to tell you that he is going to use you in the last days. It's wonderful to have God call you and tell you that you got to do something for the kingdom. Amen. And when we feel that and we see it, we are just ecstatic for the fact that God thought enough of us to call us to where we would go forward and we would do what God wants us to do. However, we are given no warning. We are given no warning of any danger that there is to come. And we don't understand when we make up our mind that we are going to go and do what God wants us to do, that we have got to make up our mind that we are not going to deviate one step or one iota from the ultimate aim and the ultimate call that God has in our life. I wish this church would finally make up their mind and determine within themselves that nothing is going to cause us to deviate from the very purpose that God has for our church and for our own self. I want you to ask your neighbor, say, are you deviating this morning? No warning was given to Paul that he was going to have to go through anything. He was told, you're going to Rome. And from weeks, it turned and stretched out to years. Paul, from those periods of time, trying to get where God needed him to go, was confronted with crisis after crisis. Things just seemed to get worse on top of things getting worse. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know and experienced that in your life? It seems like when one thing goes bad, everything starts going bad. Amen? And Paul had made up his mind. Everybody holler out and say, he made up his mind. Now, there was a visiting preacher here a couple of weeks ago that said that there was power in a made-up mind. Amen? There is power in a made-up mind that you're going to live holy and you're going to live the way God wants you to live. There's power in a made-up mind that it doesn't matter what anybody says, you're not going to bow down to any idol. There's power in a mind that's made up and says, I don't care what you say, King, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to give up praying anyway, and I'm going to do exactly what I need to do because God is God and he is the King of Kings, and it don't matter what you say or what you do or how you try to do anything and cause effects in my life, I still got a plan and a mission from the heavenly throne room up in heaven, and I'm going through with Jesus, and I'm not going to deviate. I will not give up when everybody else gives up. I will not bow down when everybody else bows down, and I will not give in to you when you don't want me to worship you. My God, I'm going to do what my God wants me to do. Amen. It's wonderful to have God call you, but when the crisis starts happening, that's when we're challenged. Amen. Crisis after crisis came to Paul. In Acts chapter number 19, he made up his mind that he was going to Rome. Everybody holler out and say, his mind was made up. Now, I'll tell you what, when my mind is made up, I am one of the most stubborn people that there is in the world. I said, I'm the most stubborn person in the world. Tina ought to be shouting and praising the Lord right there. If I know that it is right and my mind is made up, boy, you better prove me wrong, and you better prove me wrong in every little area in my life, because if I have a made up mind, boy, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to preach it out of me. You ain't going to pull it out of me. If my mind's made up, that's a powerful thing about me. Amen. And if your mind is made up, it don't matter what the devil throws up his crooked finger and tries to get you out of the house of God. It don't matter if the famines in life tries to get you away from the estate of the Heavenly Father. It don't matter what hell tries to do in your life. You're not coming out of the estate of God. You're going to stay where God put you, and you're going on, and you will not deviate. Ask your neighbor again and say, is your mind made up this morning? Paul experienced crisis after crisis, but he had the divine assurance in his life that Rome would be reached in his life. He knew he was going to get there. Everybody holler out and say, we're going to get there. Amen. As he began to go forward, he made up his mind, I'm going to Jerusalem, and then I'm going to Rome. I'm going to see the church in Jerusalem, and I'm going to Rome. He began from that point on to endure crisis after crisis. In one town that he went to, a riot broke out in Ephesus because he had performed the miracles. Now, I'm going to tell you what, it's something for a riot to break out when somebody's done wrong or you've done wrong to them. But when you walk into a place and you start raising people from the dead and you start healing people, and a riot breaks out because of that, there, boy, I'm going to tell you what, that shows you that the culture is not a culture that's for you. It's definitely against you. And he had went in into this area right here, and he had cast the devil out of a girl that had made a people a whole lot of money, and when it did, it made them mad, and a great big old riot broke out, and they come in there, and they were trying everything they could possibly do to kill Paul. And there in that city, there was a clash of the way and the clash trash of the god of Ephesus, which is the Artemis worshipers or Diana worshipers there, and a clash of the gods happening, and they were ready to kill Paul. I wonder if there was someone standing here saying at the door of this church with a shotgun or deputized and given the power by the federal government of the United States to stand at that door and say, anybody that comes into this house of God to worship the Lord, kill them the minute they step in the door. I wonder, is your mind made up to come to church? If your mind is made up, then that's powerful. God is looking for a church today whose mind is made up. It don't matter what imp from hell is being sent and how many riots that there are released in your life. It don't matter how things happen in your life, how it goes good or it goes bad. You're going through and you are determined that you're going to make the way and you're going to go where you need to go. Amen. In Jerusalem, he was arrested. How many of you here would literally keep right on for the Lord even if they come in and they arrested you? Amen. They could come arrest me and take me down from this pulpit, but when they put me in the jail cell, I'm going to have church in the jail cell too. Amen. I'm going to preach in the chapel there too. I'm going to get the security guards and the officers. I'm going to convert them in the power of Almighty God. You see, the devil don't want me in the jailhouse because there's a whole lot more willing ears in the jailhouse than they are in the church. You see, but sometimes it might be a blessing for them to come and get me and carry me to the jailhouse, because I want you to know God has assigned me into the church to speak to some hard hearts, but my God told me to tell you it don't matter exactly what the review is or how you receive it, the makeup my mind that I'm going through, and I want you to know that I am determined and it's been planted inside of my spirit. I'm going with you or I'm going without you. I'm going to make it through where God wants me to go. If you support me or if you don't support me, I'm not giving up. It don't matter what the government says. I'm not giving up. It don't matter what the church of God says. I'm not giving up if they accept me or they don't accept me. I'm not giving up because I know God has put it in my spirit, and I have the assurance to know that I am going to reach my destination. I want you to smile at that right beside of you and say, we're going to reach our destination. Ask them again, say, is your mind made up? In Jerusalem, he was arrested. The whole city ran out together against him, and everybody in the city intended to kill him. They beat him to near death. How many of you would leave your house to go to the IGA downtown? If everybody in Blainville, North Carolina was mad with you and was ganged up with clubs and they were ready to meet you the minute you stepped out of your house to beat you to a bloody pulp and they had the intent to kill you, there wasn't a one in town that would stand for you. How many would just go on and move out of your house and go on to the IGA under the power and the spirit of Almighty God and change the environment and change the atmosphere? Paul did just that. Then, as he was arrested, he was scourged by the Romans. And then he was put on trial by the Jews. And then there was a holy war that was incited between the Pharisees and the Sadducees while it was going on. And he endured that conspiracy between the religious people to kill him. Now, it's one thing for the world to want to kill you. But when it gets to the point where your brothers and sisters in Christ conspires to kill you or to destroy you or to throw you out of the church or to ruin your reputation, then that's another hurt that it takes to have some power in God's life to overcome in your life. Amen. But the Holy Ghost had determined. Paul had determined. The rulers had determined that Paul was going to go to Rome. I wanted to share with you here at Living Water, God has determined that Living Water Worship Center is going to have revival. Well, I don't sit here a whole lot of confidence in that, but I'm going to say it again. God has determined in his heavenly counsel that he is going to send the angels needed. He's going to send the gifts needed. He's going to send the harvest needed. He's going to send the word needed. He's going to send the power needed to usher Living Water Worship Center into a revival that is going to have so much fire in it that everyone around it is going to be marveled about what God is going to do. And God has purpose within himself that we're going to have revival. In Living Water Worship Center, can the church give God some praise when him decided that Living Water is worship worthy to be revived? Amen. Not only has God decided it, the Holy Ghost has determined it. The Holy Ghost has already determined it, placed the angels where they need to be. The question is, have you determined it? The question is, have the rulers determined it? If the rulers in this house have determined that we're going to have revival, and I want to speak to my rulers right quick, those that are in office in this place, and I want to know if you're on page with me. If you are, I want everybody in this church to see your hands go up. Are we going to have revival in Living Water Worship Center? Would you say amen? All right, if we're rulers in this house and we have agreed, the next question is, are you determined that we're going to have revival? I want you to shake that person right beside of you, get their attention, pull them close to you. Maybe you need to show them your pearly white teeth, and in love say, you've got to get determined that we're going to have revival in this house. Amen. Paul's coming to Rome. Paul's making it to Italy. God's going to send Living Water to Italy. We're going into Italy. And I want you to know Italy is a very spiritual situation. And when it looked doubtful, when it looked like that he wasn't going to be able to make it, when it looked like that he was beaten to death, when it looked like that he was going to go down into the storm, when it looked like that he was going to sink on the ship, an angel showed up beside him when he was put out into an area, and it looked like that they were going to kill him, and the angel stood up and he strengthened him. And I want to tell you here today, it does not matter what the devil tries to do to Living Water Worship Center. It does not matter what he's trying to do in your family right now. It don't matter what he's trying to do in that marriage. It doesn't matter what he's trying to do in your finances. It does not matter what he's trying to do in your health. My God said for me to tell you that he's sending an angel to stand beside you and to strengthen you and to make sure that you're going to get through. You're coming to Italy and you're going to come whether the devil wants you to come or not. Amen. In Acts chapter number 23:11. The angel stood beside him and said, be a good cheer. Look at your neighbor right beside of you and say, be a good cheer. Oh, just look at somebody and say, cheer up. Get happy. Put a smile on your face. Act like that you got some joy on the inside of you. He looked at him and he said, be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, you're going to bear witness for me at Rome. As you have spoken what you have determined, it shall be done, and you're going to go to Rome and do it. As you speak it, it shall be done unto you. As you release it, it shall be done. Living Water Worship Center, get ready for a revival that's going to knock you out of them pews. Get ready for a revival that's going to bring healing to sicknesses in this house. Be ready for a revival that spirits from God is going to show up and chase demons out of people's lives and out of family. Get ready for a revival that's going to grab a hold of crackheads and get them right with God. Get ready for a power of God that's going to change you and me and everybody you come in contact with. Be of good cheer. God's sending revival to Living Water. Amen. The means wound up not being what Paul thought it was going to be to get him to Italy. He thought maybe he was just going to waltz in and be able to talk to Caesar. But he would be arrested. He would be beat to death. He would go through conspiracies to kill him. He would have riots against him. He would go through a 14-day hurricane out in the middle of the strait of the Adriatic Sea. He would go through a shipwreck. He would have snakes to bite him. He would have people that lost faith in him begin to have faith in him. And eventually he's going to make it. But the means was not what Paul would have chosen. But through all of these instances, God was sharing to us in this chapter and in the chapter to come that God's still in control. I want everybody in this church to say, God's in control. I want you to say it again. Say, God's in control. God's in control of Living Water Worship Center. God's in control of that marriage. God's in control of your finances. God's in control. God's in control of Bladenboro. God's in control of Clinton, North Carolina. God's in control of Tabor City, North Carolina. God's in control of Whiteville, North Carolina. God's in control of this region. God's still in control. It might not be by the means that we think is going to come, but when it's all said and done, God's going to get things done exactly according to his purpose, and it ain't nothing that nobody here can do to stop it. Can you say amen? Amen? What I like about Paul is that Paul was fully willing to literally leave the details in God's hands. When you are fully willing to leave all the details in God's hands, God will make sure you arrive. Amen.
When you finally give up and say, all right, I'm not going to try to do anything to get Ernest Washington or Aunt Ernest saved. I'm not going to do anything to straighten up anybody in my life. I'm giving all the details to God. God, you handle it. You do what you need to do. I'm not going to keep right on. I'm doing these things. God, I'm going to be perfectly willing to give all the details to you. That's when God will make sure you get your destination. Tell your neighbor right beside him, say, give them all the details. Tell them, say, all the details. I ain't going to preach much longer here this morning. God had that one word for somebody today. It was determined that he's going to sail to Italy, and he was determined to leave all the details in the hands of God. So if you leave all the details in the hands of God for this revival that's coming, then you don't have to start nothing new. You don't have to do anything new. God will start something new when he needs it. He will start something new when he needs it to move. He will move on the one he needs to move. He will move on Andrew when he needs to move on Andrew. He will literally spank somebody if he needs to spank them. He'll literally raise somebody up if he needs to. He'll chastise us if he needs to chastise us. But the details is in God's hand. And I'll come behind this pulpit to let hell know here this morning. Look here. I've given all the details to God. The only thing I got to do is deliver it, and when I deliver it, God's going to handle the details. It's up to me to bring the truth, and I'm going to bring the truth, and the truth is, Jerome, God's got you, and he's going to straighten you out. The truth is that God's going to straighten Andrew out. The truth is God's going to straighten Jackie out. God's going to straighten out Living Water Worship Center. Kip Nancy's going to preach the word and release the word, and the angels are going to be sent, and I'm going to see people fire up and have some joy and some cheer in their life and quit walking in here with your lips dragging the ground. You're going to have some joy, and you're going to speak the glory of God, and as you speak it, God's going to move and send the angels to take care of it for you in this coming year. Amen. So it was determined that Paul was going to go to Italy. It was determined by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, by Paul, and lastly by the rulers, that he was going to Italy. There's something spiritual you need to know about Italy. If you've been with me a little while, it'll click with you very quickly. If you hadn't, then bear with me just a few minutes. The word Italy comes to us in the Greek and in the Italian language from a word that means like a cow, like a bull. The Holy Spirit is dropping hints all the way through this story from Acts chapter 27 through the end of chapter 28. He first says it takes a made-up mind to get where God wants you to go. Then he begins to share with you as he drops hints that there's something that you got to do. There's a purpose you got in your life. You're going to Italy, and you're going to Italy because there is something like a bull there that you're going to have to fight. There is a God in the Bible called Baal. Oh, it just clicked with some of you. Baal was a God that demanded child sacrifice, and it was a sexual orgy type God. Italy was the headquarters of Dionysus and Aphrodite, which was a godhead of Baal, the Greek goddess of love. It was the Greek goddess of sexual pleasure. It was the goddess of ecstasy. It was in this area, listen to me very carefully as I try to get to the point where God will allow me to close. It was in this area in the centralized world, the most powerful empire that had ever been on the face of this earth at that point in time had redefined marriage for the first time. Are y'all seeing this in the United States already? Amen. Secondly, extramarital affairs was rampant everywhere. Men had them mistresses, and they had them all type of friends. There was prostitution everywhere. In fact, it was preached to them that they were born and they were made as a teenager to make love and not war. How many of you remember that, too, in living in the United States? Amen. They used to have drunken orgies all over the place in Italy. They even castrated men to make them women. Oh, ain't that going on in the church, in the world today? Amen.
And those that would not be castrated, they would take them and they would cause them to wear women's clothes and act like a woman. Ain't that what's going on today? And then there were women that decided that they were going to marry women, and there was men that decided they were going to marry men. All in Italy. Prostitution was all over the place. So when God told Paul, you're going to Italy, he was telling him in a spiritual way, you're going to face Baal eye to eye. You're moving in there with a spirit and a power that I'm going to give on you that's going to take down this Baalistic religion, and I'm going to show you who I am and that you are my child. I'm going to show the world that I am God of all gods. I am King of all kings. I am the Lord of all lords, and I am jealous over my glory, and nobody will give my glory to another. So he told him, you're going into an area to fight a culture that is so debaucherized that literally it's going to take the power of God to turn it around. Amen. Amen. So he was called to go in and conduct spiritual warfare. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God has called Living Water to sail to Italy. So it's time for you to conduct spiritual warfare. It's time for us to get ready with all that Paul endures. He went through conflict after conflict. He went through conspiracy after conspiracy. The devil tried to kill him over and over and over and over again. And now finally he's shipwrecked in this chapter. And here he is out there cold, and he's got to build a fire to get warm again. Now, I want to know about you. How many's ever been in a wreck before? Raise your hand. Let me see. Any wreck is terrifying, ain't it? I'm going to tell you what. When those cars start coming, a train start coming, or a transfer truck hits you, that's a terrifying wreck. Amen? But I've been out in the river with the boat that went down. And let me tell you something. I've been in a car accident, and I was a little scared with that. But I'm going to tell you what, I was about the scariest fella I ever been in my life in the Waccamaw River when a snake fell out of the tree and fell down into my boat, and I blowed a great big old hole in it, and I sunk my boat 3 miles down Waccamaw River. And I had to walk back to my car with a forest and a river that was full of snakes. I blew my vehicle up because one fell in it. And I had to get out of my vehicle and walk in a snake-infested place. Sand, they say, is the most snake-infested water moccasin area that there is in the world. And I had to walk from there 3 miles. And let me tell you that I won't walk in like this. I was like, is that twig or is that snake? I blew my boat up and I sunk my boat, and I had to go fight the snakes on their territory and not on mine. So I come to tell you here today, don't get scared and blow a hole in your boat. Stay on the ship. Because when you stay on the ship, you're going to get to their territory, and you'll be all right then, but you'll have enough of people with you to be able to fight against them snakes when they come in. But if you're out there right by yourself, let me tell you, you ain't wanting to be walking out there in the pitch darkness like I was, like at 5 o'clock, shining a little light down there saying, is that what that is? And you're turning all around, looking all up in the tree. I wanted to tell you, I tell you, one fell on me one time when I was hunting, and I ain't been hunting no more in my life. I was sitting on a log there, and all of a sudden something hit me on my back, and I turned around, and there was one of them snakes running. Boy, I'll tell you what, I was back home before Uncle Jim made it back to the house, and he had a car. First time I ever went to Crusoe, North Carolina, I pulled down this road, going down to go flex his furnace. Pulled down this road, and the first sign that I saw was snakes for sale. He said, Lord, where in the world am I at? Kept riding down, and every now and again you see a sign, snakes. And I kept looking behind the houses, and I didn't know what it was. And it looked like there was pump houses behind the house. And I said, boy, there's some pretty good sized pump houses out there. So I got to this man's house, as I tell this story, and the Lord let me go here this morning. I got to, and he walked out, and I said, what is this thing? He said, oh, come here, let me show you. And he rolled back a 4x8 sheet of plywood at one end of it, and that thing was full of snakes. Let me tell you what, if I ever shouted before in my life, I shouted that morning. I was back to that truck, and inside of it, in a heartbeat, I said, just bring me your money. I don't, not ever, no, give it up. When you go through a wreck, though, that's a shipwreck. The agony of it is produced, and it's even more than being a wreck in a car. Because you're out there with no help whatsoever. So the question as I close here this morning is, why is it that Luke gave us such a lengthy detail of this chapter and explained us every port that we were going into? Why is it that he was so detailed about this voyage? Maybe, just maybe, it was to account unto us and to show us God's sovereignty. To show us that God is going to protect us, and he's going to protect the destiny that he has in your life, and he's going to protect the destiny that he has in this ministry. Despite all the antagonism that Paul went against, despite all the antagonism that the gospel of the kingdom of God will ever endure, despite all of the antagonism that the church will ever endure, despite all the antagonism that you will ever go through in your life, you are going to survive it, and you're going to reach your predetermined destiny if you'll make up your mind as you go in. I want you to know that this chapter takes place in winter. In winter. In the dark times, in the shortest days of the world. When the seas are literally, practically closed down for navigation. I want you to write that down. That's where we're going to stop at. God has just called Living Water Worship Center to Italy. He called us to Italy spiritually to go and confront this devil that is killing some 63 million children by abortion every day. He's just called us to fight against this transgenderism. And he come against, calls us to stand against this homosexuality. He's taught us to stand against this redefinition of marriage. God is calling us to stand for what is holy and start calling what is holy, holy, and stop calling what is unholy, holy. God has called us to get to Italy and to look the ruling empire from hell in the eye and bring about the very change of revival that needs to be brought forth. You are important in God's eyes. God has made up his mind. The rulers have made up their mind. And God wants to know this morning, has Living Water Worship Center determined in their mind that they have to sail to Italy? If you have made up your mind this morning that you're going with me to Italy, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to smile at him and say, let's make up your mind. Let's make up your mind. And I want you to give God a good hand clap of praise. I want you to shout out and say amen, because we're going to Italy. Living Water Worship Center's on the way to Italy. It don't matter what hurricane comes. We're going to stay in the boat. We're going to build a fire. And we're going to face hell eye to eye. And we're coming out of it no matter what the devil tries to do. God has our front, our back, our side, and our top and our bottom. Get ready for a revival in 2024, because your mind is made up. Punch that beside of you and say, is your mind made up? Ask another and say, are you determined? Notice what that word determined means. It's deter mind. So your mind cannot be deterred. Everybody speak with me, say, my mind cannot be deterred. It don't matter what hell does in my family, my mind can't be deterred. It don't matter what hell tries to do in my church, my mind can't be deferred. It don't matter what hell tries to do in my finances, my mind won't be deterred. It don't matter what the devil tries to do with my health, my mind will not be deterred. It does not matter what hell tries to do in the cities that I'm going to, in the ports that he puts me in, I will not have my mind deterred. It is determined that I am going to Italy, and I'm going with my brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all glad you come to church this morning? Do you feel better?
Amen.
If you feel better, smile at me. If you're going to give all the details to God this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Now, when you leave here, leave all the details in his hands. Amen.
Amen.
Quickly before I leave, Monday evening, 7 o'clock, on the group, there is a conference call and a PIN number. It will be shared again. Call and join Thelma, Jackie, Janice, and whoever else can be on it for prayer at that point in time. If you need prayer in your family, you need prayer in your finances, you need prayer in your health, and we need prayer in this church, we need to be on that call. If you can't stay the whole time today, pray, that's fine, but at least be on the call and enjoy our camaraderie and our unity, and let's reach the throne of God to keep our mind determined that we're going to make it what God wants done in our life accomplished. Amen. All right, smile. Yes, go ahead.